Welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
Thank you so much for being here and coming along for the ride. My name is Bob Long. In this hour of the broadcast, we're going to be talking to an author of a great book. It's called The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker, the American Motors Corporation. And we're going to be talking to this esteemed journalist for the vast majority of this hour about this book, as well as his quite extensive background in the world of automotive journalism. Also coming up a little later on in the hour, we're going to see if we can check in with Don Jones, the old car guy. He goes around gathering up all kinds of rare and unusual vehicles, and he's got a television show that he's hoping to get on the air soon, so we'll see if we can catch up with him. And we can catch up with you at any time. You can shoot me an email. It's Bob, B-O-B, at autoworldradio.com. Or, if you prefer, you can dial us up throughout the broadcast at 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261. And why don't I throw out an American Motors question here, just to get things started before we welcome our very special guest. I'm looking for an American Motors vehicle there's many different ways that I can go with this one, but let's go with this one. The AMC Eagle was a very interesting vehicle introduced by American Motors because it was one of the first vehicles that incorporated something that today we take for granted on a lot of different vehicles. More and more manufacturers are offering this particular option. It's something to do with the driveline of the vehicle. What made the AMC Eagle an unusual vehicle and kind of an ahead of its time vehicle? Our telephone number is 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261. Wasn't the best-looking vehicle, but part of that had to do with the reason why I'm asking this question, because it had something that today more and more automakers are adding or expanding their lineup to include more and more of these type of offerings. Again, the telephone number is 855-660-4261. Joining us on the line here is an esteemed automotive journalist, a gentleman who has written many books, and we'll talk about his background in a moment. But the latest book we're going to focus on in this hour of the broadcast is American Motors Corporation, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker. It's my pleasure to welcome Pat Foster to the airways of Auto World. Pat, how are you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks so much. Let's tell everybody a little bit about your background. You've written more than 17 books, and you certainly have worked and contributed to so many different publications. You've been writing for more than 25 years. Your work has appeared in Hemmings Motor News, Hemmings Classic Car, Auto Week, Automotive Quarterly, Automotive News. You've also contributed to Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep magazines, Collectible Automobile, Ford, the magazine of the Chrysler Museum, Reader's Digest, Hemmings Muscles Machines, Cars and Parts, Strada, Special Interest Autos, Collector, Car Collector, and Car Classics, Automotive History Review, and the Journal of the Society of Automotive Historians, and that's just to name a few.
Gee, I didn't realize I had written for all those magazines, but I guess I have.
And of course, your regular columns in Hemmings Classic Car and Old Cars Weekly are famous. I mean, these are read by an awful lot of people each and every time that they hit the newsstands and go out to subscribers around the U.S. and around the world.
I've been really lucky in life. The Hemmings Classic Car gig is tremendous fun. It's a great magazine. My editor, Richard Lentinello, is a great guy to work for, and I have so much fun doing that column every month. And, of course, I write feature articles for them almost on a monthly basis. And then Old Cars Weekly, I've been doing that column for 10, 12 years now. And, geez, that's an awful lot of fun. Now, in Old Cars Weekly, I write about foreign cars, which is a little bit out of my comfort zone because I ordinarily write about the American independent automobile companies, Nash, Hudson, Studebaker, Packard, Pierce Aero, all the ones that are now orphan cars.
Oh, that's very good. So you're a little bit stepping out of your comfort zone and doing some unusual work there. I applaud you for that. In 2011, you were honored with the Lee Iacocca Award, which is a very coveted award in the old car hobby for excellence in automobile writing, and certainly that must have been a great honor for you, Pat.
Wow, that was the highlight of the year, and it came as a complete surprise to me. I had no idea I was in the running. And I wish I could show you what the award looks like. It's beautiful, and I got a nice letter from Lee Iacocca to go along with the award. It was quite a big event.
In addition to this latest book on American Motors, you've written other books about American Motors in your illustrious history here. Tell us about some of the other books that you've written about the AMC brand.
Well, the first book I wrote came out in 1993, so that's 20 years ago, and it was titled American Motors, The Last Independent, and it was a surprisingly popular book, and it became sort of the standard volume on American Motors, I think mostly because there just wasn't very much out there on the company. But that book went out of print after about 8 years. We had a good run with it, sold a good, many thousands of copies. But it went out of print, and so I wrote another one called AMC Cars, 1954 to 87 Illustrated History, just to kind of focus just on the automobiles, because the first one had focused more on the company history. And that one is still in print, but I was approached by Motor Books, the world's
sure.
largest publisher of automobile books, to do this new book on American Motors. And they said, we want to put a lot of money into it and do a really, really nice volume. And I just couldn't resist the lure of that. So
that's great.
I figured, let me come up to the plate one more time. I'm probably not going to write a fourth book on American Motors because I think I've said pretty much everything that can be said. people, when they see this book, are really going to enjoy it. It's a beautiful volume.
It's chock full of pictures. I've heard that there's something like 200 color and around 100 black and white photos. That sounds like a real immense collection, Pat.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I have an archive of American Motors factory photos, both black and white and color. And currently, it's always building, but currently it's 12,000 photos. So for this new book, I was able to go through all 12,000 and pick out the 300, I think it's actually 325 photos, the very best that I could find. Unlike my earlier books, this one is a color book. So it's and the pictures just jump out from the page. There's a lot of photos there that have never been published before anywhere. And probably 95% of the photos in the book I've never used before in my earlier books. So there, anybody who's already bought one of my books will be able to look at this and say, this is completely different. This is something really unique.
That's great, Pat. Well, let's get inside the book here, and it's going to be available on October 15th. When we come back on the other side from this break, we'll talk about the interesting story of American Motors, where it began and what happened in the end with American Motors, and all things in between. Pat Foster is with us live here on Auto World. Don't go away.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. AutoGeek.com is the web hotspot for all things car, truck, and and motorcycle. Go there now. www.autogeek.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Long, considered by most to be North America's number one automotive radio personality. And whenever I pulled the Auto World radio show over for commercial break, I head straight to my computer so I can check out what's happening on AutoGeek.com. You'll find the latest products, an events calendar featuring nationwide cruise-ins, swap meets, and shows, individual members' ride photos, a huge automotive search engine, contests, do-it-yourself tips, club listings, and much more. It's all at AutoGeek.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Broadcasting from the middle of Corvette Boulevard and Stingray Avenue, this is Auto World with your host, Bob Long.
Pat Foster is with us, esteemed automotive journalist, author of 17 books. His latest coming out on my birthday, actually, October 15th, is the wonderful new book all about American Motors. And it is called American Motors, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker. And certainly, Pat, there was a time in this country that there were a lot of independent motor makers. Automakers, and unfortunately they've all gone away. But let's go back to the beginnings of American Motors. It kind of was born out of the ashes of two other car makers, Hudson and Nash. Tell us about the early days of AMC.
Well, the company was formed May 1st, 1954, and as you said, it came from Nash, which actually was a although not a tremendously popular brand, it was a very well-run company and financially pretty solid. And then there was Hudson, which not only was not all that popular, but it was on the verge of bankruptcy in 1954 and found that the only way it could survive would be to merge with another company. Nash knew it was heading towards that eventually, you know, at some point in the future. So the two got together, merged and formed American Motors Corporation. And initially, the idea was that we're going to have a General Motors-like setup. We're going to have a Nash brand. We're going to have a Hudson brand. They're going to be separate dealerships, separate sales organizations, and they'll share a common body shell, but with enough differentiation so people will not be able to think that a Hudson and a Nash are exactly the same car. That didn't work out. The big car, sales of the big cars just continued to plunge as in 1955, 56. They just didn't do very well. But Nash had a car called the Rambler, mm-hmm. which was a smaller car. It was what they call a compact back then. We would call it an intermediate-sized car today, but it was a compact.
So
and,
true.
It was selling pretty well, especially after Hudson joined on, because it added, you know, 2,000 Hudson dealers were able to sell the Rambler as the Hudson Rambler. And they had this weird situation from 55 and 56 where they were selling the same car as the Nash Rambler and the Hudson Rambler. Everything absolutely identical except for the grill badge and the hubcaps. And eventually the Rambler really took off. They had a president of the company back then, George Romney, who, by the way, was the father of Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a tremendously effective businessman and a real leader. And he was able to shake his dealer organization into shape and turn the Rambler into a really hot-selling car. It began in 57. They had a terrific year in 58. They doubled it for 59, just about doubled it again for 1960. And by 1961, they were running third place in the industry several months out of the year. They weren't able to maintain it for the entire 12-month period, but they were the third best-selling make behind, you know, Chevy and Ford, which was a tremendous accomplishment for a company that less than 10 years earlier was on the verge of bankruptcy. So I think they would have done the target that Romney had set was to overtake Chevrolet for number one. I don't know if he would have been able to do that, but we'll never know because he quit the company in 62 to go into politics.
Mm-hmm.
He became governor of Michigan, and he was the most popular governor in Michigan history. He had four terms of office, and then he went into made a run for the presidency. When he left, it kind of left a void in the management of American Motors. They had a successor who was more of a sales guy than a businessman, and he was a big car guy, and he just jumbled up the formula that they had put together for success. And the company ran into hard times. By 67, it was, again, on the verge of bankruptcy, and they had a change of management. They brought in Roy D. Chapin, Jr., who was a friend of mine. And he ran the company and brought it back. And that's when we began to see exciting cars from American Motors. Remember the AMX two-seat sports car?
Oh, of course.
And the Javelin.
Yep. The
and then we had the Gremlin.
Editions. Yep.
You know, that's the Gremlin to me is one of the most iconic American automobiles of all time. Everybody knows what a Gremlin is.
That's so true.
And it was a darn good car.
I remember a woman on the street that I grew up in. She was a teacher in Newton, Massachusetts, had a purple Gremlin. And like the Chrysler group, AMC dabbled in a lot of exuberant colors back then.
Yes. I had a purple Gremlin myself.
Very good.
Yeah.
I've never had the pleasure of driving a Gremlin. What was the experience like?
Well, it felt like a bigger car than it was because it was essentially a compact Hornet, AMC Hornet. They cut about a third of it off to make this Gremlin subcompact. So it felt like a bigger car. It's a very wide front seat, plenty of leg room, plenty of headroom. They're a good riding car, and they've got better acceleration than the other subcompact cars of that period. Do you remember the Pinto?
Sure.
The one that used to burst into flames all by itself, and the Vega.
Yes.
which were two really awful cars. The Gremlin had a bigger engine than either one of them, so it could clean their clocks in a race. And I had a very interesting childhood. When I was a teenager, I had a Gremlin, and my two buddies had a Pinto and a Vega. And, you know, we raced once or twice, and then they didn't want to race anymore.
Very good story. As we move into the middle 1970s, I actually remember this car, the Pacer was introduced. And, you know, at first it was kind of a real futuristic, groundbreaking vehicle. Yeah. You know, the door went into the roof to give you a little bit more, a little bit more room to get in and out of, and it had that round shape. Later people referred to them as fish bowls, but I remember at first the Pacer was a huge hit.
It was the hottest car on the market. It was just an amazing thing. I remember I was over at the local AMC dealer visiting. You know, I used to hang around car showrooms a lot.
Me too.
And they had the press photos came in before the cars, and the dealer showed me the press photo, and my jaw just dropped to the floor. I just couldn't believe a car company would actually bring out something that risky and that futuristic and actually make it available, you know, that you could buy. It was really exciting. And it was a good car. I know later on I became an AMC car salesman, and I brought a Pacer home, and my wife looked at it and said, do we have to drive around in that thing? Because she didn't like the looks of it. But once we got inside the car and drove, she said, wow, this is a nice car. Because I'll tell you why, it rode very well. It handled beautifully. It was quiet. And you could see everything. It had more glass area than any other car on the market, except for the Cadillac Limousine. It was really unique, and people loved it. I tell you, for the first 9 months that it was on the market, it was the best-selling new car introduction American Motors ever had in its entire history.
So true, Pat. When we come back on the other side, more about the history of the American Motors Corporation.
10 miles east of the highway, hot sparks burning the night away.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Want to make your vehicle last longer than normal? Well, listen to this. Exato's amazing atomic metal conditioners repairs and protects worn friction parts utilizing ceramic nanotechnology in engines, transmissions, differentials, power steering pumps, and fuel pumps. Good for gas or diesel, new or used. If you want better fuel economy, better performance, smoother shifting, better steering response, and most importantly, to have your car's main parts last 2 to 4 times longer than you need Exato. One treatment lasts for 60,000 miles. Call 888-787-9236 or visit www.xado.us. Do it right now. That's 888-787-9236 or www.xado.us.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
The fall season is here. Falling downstairs, bad. Fallback pricing, good. Don't fall down the stairs. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote for special fallback pricing on delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Vote early. Vote often. Through October 10th. Tell us which product to put on sale. Then, beginning October 11th, Fallback Friday, the price of the product with the most votes will be on sale with special fallback pricing. Missing out on a sale on emergency preparedness food, camping food, or backpacking food? Bad. Storing delicious freeze-dried entrees, fruits, vegetables, and desserts? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote now through October 10th for fallback pricing. Voting for politicians who expose themselves? Bad. Voting for fallback pricing at freezedryguy.com? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
We want to thank you very much for joining us each and every week at this very same time. And don't forget, when you get a moment, check out my website, autoworldradio.com, the network's website, gcnlive.com. You can listen to this program in archive form, in a podcast form. Also, you can listen to it on demand. You can even listen to it via the telephone, and also check out automotiveradionetwork.com, where you'll find a podcast of this show and other automotive-related shows done by yours truly on the iTunes Music Store. Pat Foster is with us. It's the newest book from America's best AMC historian, and it is it's a really, really cool read, and it's going to be released officially on October 15th, and it's called American Motors, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker. And we're going back to the 1970s and talking about some cars like the Gremlin and the Pacer. Got an email question here from, he's in Michigan, and his name is Gary, and he wants to know a little bit about the Matador, a vehicle that he doesn't see around very often these days, but he wanted to know if the Matador was a sales success.
Oh, okay. Yes, it was. I'm surprised he says he doesn't see them. Maybe it's just the places I hang out, but I see quite a few of them. It was an unusual-looking four-door sedan. When they first came out in 1971, it was a very handsome automobile, but they never really did a complete redesign after that. For 72, they did a minor facelift, and 73, 74, they did a really unfortunate facelift that hurt the looks of the car. But right up to 78, they never did a complete redesign, so it got a little stale after a while. But while it was out there, it was a pretty good selling car, and they're very, very good automobiles. They hold up pretty well.
Certainly one of the biggest moves that AMC made in the latter years of its history was the purchase of Jeep, the acquisition of Jeep, and what a brilliant move that was. And certainly when you look at the Chrysler Group today, lots of folks look to the Jeep division as being the most valuable of all the different Chrysler Group brands.
Oh, it is by far. It's the crown jewels. I was explaining to somebody the other day that really Jeep is propping up Fiat right now because Jeep has always been a moneymaker. From the first time it came out in 1940, the experimental models, right up to the present, it's always been a big money maker, with the exception of a couple of bad years, you know, where there was a recession or a gas crisis. In my new book, you'll read that American Motors almost bought Jeep, actually, in 1959 and 1960. They entered into discussions with Kaiser Industries, which owned Jeep at the time. And one of the top executives, Roy Chapin, really wanted to buy the company. He thought this could really be a big addition to our company and make us into a much larger, much more solid company. But George Romney, in one of his rare mistakes, decided not to buy Jeep. He wanted to concentrate all his efforts on making the Rambler the number one car. So they didn't buy it. They went back again after Romney left the company. They went back again in 1964 and had a discussion with the Kaiser people again about buying them. But the president of the company then, Roy Abernathy, got cold feet, and he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to afford it. It was going to be too much money. So he backed away from the deal, too. It wasn't until Roy Chapin actually ascended to the presidency of the company that they were able to finally go out and complete the purchase. And, boy, that saved American Motors. I think they would have gone out of business in 76 or 77 without Jeep. And it's propped up Chrysler on a number of occasions ever since. Jeep is such a great, iconic brand. I'm actually in the middle of writing a new book on Jeep, too. We'll be talking about that next year.
That sounds absolutely great, Pat. Well, let's talk about what ultimately happened to make American Motors go away from the automotive landscape. Was it just the culmination of the economy? What were some of the major factors that brought the company ultimately down?
I think the biggest one is just the sheer size and volume that is involved in competing in the automobile industry. Back in the 20s and 30s, you had to have a certain volume of automobile sales that you had to do, and the makers that were only producing 30 or 40 or 50,000 cars a year, they were weeded out, they went out of business, or they were absorbed by larger companies. Well, as each decade passed, that basic volume that you had to have kept rising as costs kept rising. So by the time American Motors got into the 70s, they had a break-even point of car production. They had to build and sell at least 300,000 cars a year, or they lost money. Even with Jeep offsetting some of their losses, they needed to sell about 300,000 cars. That wasn't a problem for the first few years of it. 74, they certainly did well over that. They did nearly 400,000 cars, and they made money. When the Pacer came out, the sales were good initially, but after 9 months, people started complaining about the car, saying that, it's a small car, but it doesn't get very good gas mileage because it was a very heavy car.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like the acceleration because it was a heavy car and it had a small engine, and it just didn't accelerate as well as some people, thought it should. So sales of the Pacer started falling. Sales of the Matador Coupe were falling because there was a gas crisis going on. And all of a sudden, American Motors' volume dropped from 400,000 cars a year to about 250,000 cars a year. And they just began losing money. Well, it's like watching a snowball go down a hill. It just gathered steam because as rumors went around that the company was losing money and news stories came out saying they're struggling, well, their car sales continued to fall, affected by that bad news. And as they fell, there was more bad news, which caused sales to go further down. And all of this was in a background where they didn't have an awful lot of money available for new product development. When the Pacer failed, which it did ultimately fail, that was the last money they had for product development. They were banking on that car being a solid success to generate enough money to develop the next new car. When that didn't happen, they were left with a choice of just rehashing the same products over and over again. So they took the compact Hornet and they gussied it up and dressed it up, gave it a beautiful interior and a lot of extra quiet insulation, and they turned it into the luxury compact Concorde. They took the Gremlin and did some minor body revisions and dressed up the interior and turned it into the Spirit. They went back to that Hornet Concorde line again and added four-wheel drive and turned it into the Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And the cars, each one of those had a limited run of success, but they were still based on basically a 1970 body shell. And by 1985, it looked very old. You know, they were very old-fashioned looking cars. By 1987, virtually no one wanted, you know, to buy one because they were stale, and it was a company that was losing so much money you could just tell that it was going to go out of business. So it was tragic. When you think that back at the dawn of the automobile industry and for the first 20 or 30 years, there were literally thousands of independent automobile companies. Even as late as the mid-1930s, there were still 30, 40, you know, independent car brands.
Sure.
By the time World War II was over, they were down to about seven. And by 1987, we were down to one, American Motors. And then that went out of business. And because, again, the volume of business that you have to do in the automobile industry, I don't think there could ever really be another independent automobile company except a limited production job like Tesla, which right now is building about 40,000 cars a year.
Yeah, exactly. Straight ahead, hang with us. Some more with Pat Foster. This is Auto World. Don't go away.
Let's cruise away from here. Don't be confused. The way is clear.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Auto World Radio is brought to you in part by 21st Century Insurance. Visit www.21st.com and by the Busted Knuckle Garage. Unique automotive and motorcycle gifts for everyone. Call 888-708-0897 Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 Mountain Time, or log on anytime to BustedKnuckleGarage.com.
Is your car more than 5 years old? Has your manufacturer or dealership warranty expired? Every mile you drive, your car is getting closer to needing costly repairs. How will you pay the hundreds, even thousands of dollars needed to get your car back on the road when the inevitable happens? Call the Auto Protection Hotline now. You will speak to a friendly representative that will guide you through setting up a zero-fee coverage plan that is tailored to your needs. There's no obligation. Call 888-833-9257 and put your warranty worries behind you.
When the day comes where the world changes forever, you can be ready at a moment's notice. With Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's completely mobile and ready to go. All the comforts of an RV, but custom-built to outlast any other trailer. Learn more at survivalistcamps.com. Due to overwhelming response, limited inventory is available. Be ready with survivalistcamps.com. Survivalist Camps, providing your basic needs to survive.
You're the kind of person who makes smart choices and is always prepared. That's why the PrepMart.com is perfect for you. Cook a great backyard meal with steam in about an hour with the Can Cooker Jr. Normally $74, on sale now for just $64.95. It's great for camping and emergencies, and batteries are on sale. Up to 10% off our low prices right now at ThePrepMart.com. Great customer service you can trust. Get prepared at ThePrepMart.com. That's ThePrepMart.com.
Enrich and enlighten your life with the Awake and Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Cobo Center in Detroit. Experts from around the world present the latest advancements in holistic health, wellness science, and free energy technology. It's a weekend of insightful lectures, workshops, and discussions, all designed to help you reach your highest potential self. Find the path that will cleanse your body and mind and open doors to a new level of consciousness. Discover the benefits of raw food and juicing. Participate in the meditative practice of Tai Chi. Strengthen the body through yoga and view life-changing documentaries. An amazing array of exhibitors will offer the newest products and services that support a healthy and holistic lifestyle. Visit AwakenEmpoweredExpo.com for tickets. The Awaken Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Cobo Center in Detroit. Raising global consciousness as we come together to empower ourselves and each other to live to our fullest potential.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients, targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwartman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Hey, it's Billy F. Gibbons from ZZ Top, and you're listening right here to Auto World.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Our telephone number is 855-660-4261. We had a gentleman on hold from Iowa. Please call back. I neglected to get you on air. So we'd love to get you back on, so please give us a call back at 855-660-4261. All of our great folks listening on Newstalk 1540 KXEL. We've got Pat Foster with us. He is the author of a wonderful new book. It's called American Motors Corporation, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automakers. It will be published and available on October 15th of this year. And Pat, where's the best place for folks to pre-order the book? And once the book is out, where's some of the outlets that folks will be able to purchase it?
Well, I think the best place to purchase the book would probably be my own website. They can get an autographed copy that way for the same price as a non-autographed copy. The website is www.old, that's O-L-D-E, Milford, M-I-L-F-O-R-D, press, P-R-E-S-S, all one word, .com. And again, it's oldmilfordpress.com. The book is available for sale right now. You can pre-order if you want to have it personalized to Bob or Jenny or Susan or whatever. You just put a note in with the order, and we will do. The books are actually, the advanced copies are here now. Once they publish the book, they always send, the printer sends advanced copies. Those came in actually Friday, so the rest of them are going to be here in another week or so. So as soon as they arrive, we'll be shipping. They'll be shipped out this month.
That sounds absolutely great. Going back to the 1970s, too, just wanted to reminisce because a couple of people have emailed me up on this, that AMC did some rather unusual special models, trim levels. I remember there was a Levi edition of the Gremlin, and there were some other very unique editions of various AMC vehicles during the decade of the
70s. American Motors had an interior design chief by the name of Vince Geraci, who is a good friend of mine now. He's retired and living in Michigan. And he came up with the designer interiors that really made AMC put him on the map. He and his wife came up with the Levi's Gremlin option. He had decided that this is something we want to do. He was able to get the idea approved by management. And he sent his wife out to a fabric store, and she bought all different kinds of swatches of denim and chose one that they thought looked the best, and then she machine washed it about 7 times to get it to the right shade and took it to him. He took it to the company that manufactured their interior fabrics, and they were able to duplicate it. They got a license from Levi's so that they could put the little orange Levi tag on the seats along with the iconic brass buttons and everything, and it was just beautiful. Now, it was not really made out of denim material because that can't meet wear standards or fire standards. It was actually a spun nylon. But I tell you, you sit in one and touch it, and it feels just like denim, and it looks exactly like denim. It's a really cool interior. They also had one interior trim designed by Dr. Aldo Gucci, the man who makes all those beautiful handbags that sell for so much money. That was available on the Hornet station wagon. They had a gorgeous, really wild, wild interior for the Javelin. It was done by Pierre Cardin, and I can't even describe it other than to say it's a mix of wild purple and blue and gray stripes that go over the seats and they go up on the headliner and on the door panels. It's really wild. And that's a very collectible automobile now. And you could get that on the Javelin and Javelin AMX. So they did some really neat interior trims. They also had ones like the Pacer offered an Indian basket or Indian blanket trim. That was really interesting. They had some nice plaid upholsteries for Hornets and Gremlins. So, yeah, they really stood out from the field with the interior trims.
Yeah, an interesting question here from Scott, who writes he remembers back in the late 1970s that American Motors had an alliance with Renault. Could Pat tell us more about that? Good question.
Yeah, that was in this new book I explained the whole story behind that. It initially was supposed to be just a handshake partnership where American Motors pays a licensing fee and is able to build Renault cars in the United States and sell them under the American Motors brand. But what happened is there was an economic crisis came, followed by a gas crisis. Sales of Jeep vehicles went through the floor. Sales of all their cars dropped tremendously. And all of a sudden, American Motors found itself without enough money to get by. They had to end up being selling a controlling interest in the company to the French automaker Renault, who then said, well, you know, we don't really need these American Motors cars. If we're going to build Renaults in the United States, we're going to call them Renaults. And the first Renault product to be built in the U.S. came out in '83. It was the Renault Alliance, which was actually a very good car. It was a tremendously good car. I bought one myself, and it was one of the best cars I've ever owned. But like most American Motors people, I was really disappointed that it had the Renault name on it rather than AMC. The first couple years, what they did to placate people like me is they put an AMC decal in the back window, but that really wasn't enough. The alliance between American Motors and Renault ultimately failed because the French were only interested in building Renault automobiles. They neglected Jeep, which, you know, could have been their big money maker. And they lost so much money in their investment in American Motors that they were forced to sell out all their shares of American Motors to Chrysler Corporation, who continues to own, you know, Jeep today. One thing that really upset me at the time and still does is that when Chrysler took over American Motors, they kept the people, they kept Jeep, but they dropped the AMC brand, which I think was one of the dumbest moves Lee Iacocca ever made. He really dropped the ball on that one.
Pat Foster is our very special guest, and he's got a great book. Everybody should check it out. American Motors Corporation, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker. Our telephone number is 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261, or you can still email us up really quick here, bob@autoworldradio.com. Got a question here from Scott, who wants to know a little bit more about again, following up on the Renault question here, ultimately, what forced the ultimate demise of the American Motors Corporation? Was it just the lack of capital? What was it, Pat?
In 1980, when Jeep sales tumbled and passenger car sales tumbled, it pretty much wiped out most of American Motors' working capital. And that crisis lasted for a few years, so it greatly weakened them. At the same time, Renault had put this concentration of building the Alliance. They followed it up with a nearly identical car called the Encore. Mm-hmm. And these were very French automobiles that just they enjoyed a couple of years of popularity, but then their sales began to fall too. And the company just racked up tremendous losses. They were losing at a time when it was unusual to lose $25 million a year. They were losing $150 million a year. And as I point out in my book, they had several years where they had actually negative working capital, which is really hard to do. You have to work pretty hard to get down to that position.
Exactly.
So they were left with really no choice. Renault in its home market also was affected by this worldwide recession. They were losing millions of dollars in France and in Europe. And they were, you know, they were in a crisis situation, and they brought in a new president, and he was known as a slasher. He was going to go out and cut all the losing operations, and the very first one he looked at was American Motors because they were losing so much money with it. And he said, you know, I'm not going to let the parent company go down because this American division is losing so much money. So he met with Lee Iacocca in Paris and said, you know, we'll sell you American Motors. Iacocca actually didn't want to buy American Motors. He only wanted to buy the Jeep brand.
Mm-hmm.
But the French, at least, were smart enough to realize that if they sold off Jeep, the car division was worth nothing. It was a perennial money loser.
Mm-hmm.
So they insisted on selling the entire package. And again, Iacocca agreed to it because he wanted Jeep. He knew the Jeep was...
Yeah.
Was a real moneymaker. But the fact that he dropped the car brand was a big mistake.
No question about it. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure sharing the microphone with you. The book is American Motors Corporation, The Rise and Fall of America's Last Independent Automaker. Pat Foster, let's do it again real soon. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure.
That's going to do it for this hour of Auto World. I'm Bob Long.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.